Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
I want to read to you this illustration as we get into the message today. But I heard that God doesn't do year-end reviews the way that we do. There's no performance improvement plan. There's no awkward meeting at work. There's no HR sitting in the corner. But if he did, I believe that some of us would walk in confident until God opens the file and says, well, let's talk about your prayer life. According to my records, you talked to me a lot this year, but you didn't listen very much. Then he flips the page and says, well, your faith numbers were really strong on Sundays. They dipped on Mondays, and they completely disappeared during traffic. And just when you think you're about to get written up, God smiles and says, don't worry. This review isn't about what you accomplished. It's about what I carried you through. God shuts the folder and says, this wasn't about what you did right or wrong, he says. I just wanted you to see how often I was faithful, even when you weren't. And that's when you realize that the year-end review was never meant to condemn you. It was meant to renew you. In a workplace review, people are often asked, did you meet expectations or did I meet the expectations? But in God's review, I believe the question is deeper. It's, did you remain faithful? Not perfect, but faithful. Amen? Did I trust God when the outcome was unclear? Did I love people when maybe it was inconvenient for me? Did I listen when he whispered or only when he shouted? And here's the grace-filled difference in God's review is that failure is never final. Amen? Lamentations remind us because of God's great love, you and I are not consumed for his what? His mercies never fail us. His mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Even on December 31st, God's mercy is already being written for January 1st. Amen? And so a year-end review at work might end with new goals or even expectations, but God always does something better, church, and that is this, is that he offers true renewal. That is, he takes what is broken, wasted, or unfinished, and he says, let's begin again. Amen? And I believe, church, if you and I are completely honest with ourselves, we could probably find a million things that we may regret doing or not doing in 2025, amen? If we look at our life and we actually contemplate, did I make every choice that God wanted me to make? Did I live in such a way that would please God in every moment? I'm sure that you and I might have a few things that we regret. But I'm here to tell you, church, that Jesus always renews those who do not lose heart, amen? Why don't we pray for this morning's word? Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor, Jesus, and I thank you, Father, that you are present in this place. And we thank you, Father God, for this final Sunday service, God, of 2025. And God, I just pray, Lord, in these moments, God, that your word, Father, would just teach us, God, would show us, Father God, how awesome you are, Lord. And God, as we open these pages, Father God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak as only you can to our hearts, God. May every heart, every ear, God, be open and receptive, God, to receive from your truth, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. If you have your Bibles, open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is where we're going to be for most of the message. We're going to be back and forth through some of these verses. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 1, and the message today is called Year-End Renew. Year-end renew. 2 Corinthians 4 and 1 says this, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, he says, we do not lose heart. The Apostle Paul begins this chapter, church, by declaring, since through God's mercy we have this ministry. We have what God has entrusted us with. We have what God has made us for. And I want us to ask ourselves this question quickly this morning, is what is your ministry? What is your ministry? I believe for many, it could be your family. Amen? For those of you that are moms and dads, it should be your family. It should be your children. But it could also be relationships around you. It could be your work. It could be your career. It could be your business. It could be your service to the Lord. And what Paul is saying here when he says we have this ministry, what he's really saying is it's your purpose. He's saying in this moment, it is your purpose. Paul is saying, since I have this purpose, I have God's divine plan for my life, since I live now for the plan of the one who has entrusted it to me, I will not lose heart. This is what Paul is trying to emphasize in this moment. He's saying, I'm not going to let discouragements, I'm not going to let sufferings, I'm not going to let persecution cause me to quit now. How many of you have ever been discouraged in your life? Come on, raise your hand. Some of you get discouraged in the line at Whataburger. Oh, man. I didn't get my water-sized fries. Woe is me. Right? You know, all of a sudden, you know, you call Brother Santiago to pray over you. You send in the prayer petition through an email because you really need prayer because, man, your heart is just challenged. But we've gone through discouragements. Amen, church? How many of you have ever gone through some kind of suffering? It could be physical, mental, spiritual. See, we've all gone through things. We've even maybe gone through types of persecution. But what Paul is saying, he said, since this ministry has been entrusted to me, he says, therefore, I'm not going to lose heart because God was the one that planted me there. It was God the one that called me to this. It is God who is the one that says, I am going to give you this purpose for which you are built to live to fulfill. He said, knowing that, that will cause me to not lose heart. And then he begins to describe all these death-like sufferings that he had to endure in ministry. But yet he also points to God's work in his midst, God's faithfulness through it all. A few verses later, 2 Corinthians 4 and 8 says this. He said, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. What else does he say? He says, we're perplexed, but not in despair. He says, we're persecuted. See, if you know anything about Paul was jailed. Paul was beaten. Paul was left for dead. Paul was threatened. His life, every single day of his ministry, was being threatened. It was being challenged. He says, I was persecuted, but I was not abandoned. He says, I was struck down. If you know anything about this man, he was physically struck down, church. Not like the Whataburger incident I mentioned a few minutes ago. That maybe doesn't count to the level that Paul was struck down. But Paul was struck down, church, and what does he say? But I wasn't destroyed. He says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Amen? He says, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. Verse 12 says then, so then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Now one would begin to think, church, after examining his own life, Paul, after experiencing all of this suffering, all of the hardship, all of the persecution, that Paul would say, man, I'm losing it. This is way too much. I can't continue doing this. There's no way I could keep going forward like this, God. There's no way, God, that you know, this is what you've called me to. It is funny because in 2025, there's a lot of people that believe in Jesus, but the first moment that they go through hardship, all of a sudden they think that God is just left and God doesn't care, or that somehow they're not expected to have to go through things in this life. Newsflash, Jesus said following him would never be perfect. Jesus never said that, hey, you know what? If you follow me, guess what? You're not going to have a single care in your life. He never said that. John 16 and 33, I didn't give it to the guys in the back, but it talks about this. He said, in this life, you will face many troubles. Jesus is a pretty honest guy, amen? He said, in this life, there it is. He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. He said, but what? Take heart. He said, because I have overcome the world, amen? How many of you are thankful for Jesus? Come on, somebody. Thank him this morning. See, what I love about this is Paul, he gets all to this place, church, and he's not thinking about this is so difficult for me, or this is too challenging for me, or this is too tough for me to continue. No, Paul, listen to what he says. He recalls the hurt, but what does he do? He acknowledges the healer. Amen? Let's go back and read it because I love it so much. He says, we're hard pressed on every side, but I'm not crushed. Some of us need to preach to ourselves this way sometimes. Amen? You go through stuff and all of a sudden it's just, man, you're just going through it. But I think we need to preach to ourselves like Paul. He acknowledges the very things that he is going through. He said, I was hard pressed on every side, but guess what? I wasn't crushed. The devil couldn't smash me. He goes, I was perplexed, but guess what? I wasn't in despair. He still had enough faith and belief and trust in Jesus that he knew God was still going to lead him through. He said, I was persecuted, but not abandoned. I wasn't abandoned by him because he was still living. He was still breathing. He still had life. He said, I'm not abandoned. Struck down, but I'm not destroyed. He recalls the hurt, but he acknowledges the healer. He recalls the discouragement, but he acknowledges his encourager. Amen. He remembers the abuse, but he knew he was not abandoned. He remembers the suffering, but he knew he was never sold out by God. And I want to encourage somebody this morning, church. You have gone through things in 2025, but never forget that you are still standing here today by the grace and the mercy and the power of a living God. Amen? Paul knew, church, that he wasn't sold out by the Lord, yet it was because of who he carried in his heart. Amen? It was because of his belief and his trust in him. It was him who carried them when their bodies couldn't endure anymore. It was the Lord that would step in those moments in Paul's life where he would be shackled into prison, yet singing songs and spiritual songs to the Lord. See, that's the kind of strength of God that I know, and I pray that's the kind of strength of God that you know. Where maybe you face those challenging moments throughout this 2025 and circumstances that maybe you never thought you would step into. But in those moments, you saw the power of God rise up to keep those lips of yours still praising him. You've felt the power of God rise up in your life so that when your heart felt so heavy and discouraged and weary, God just reinvigorated that heart to continue on trusting in him. Amen. Paul was a man who came to trust and believe in Jesus just like you and I, amen? But yet that did not remove him from suffering. It did not remove him from persecution. It might have slowed his body, church, but it never stopped his mission. It may have slowed him down just for a moment, but it never stopped what God had called him to do. And this is why he says, therefore. If you see that word in your Bible, just underline it, therefore. You'll see it in verse 16. I believe you'll see it in verse 1. But everybody repeat after me. Say, therefore. You know that we all need a therefore, church. We all need a therefore because that word actually means for this reason. For this reason. Write that down if you're taking notes. Paul's reason, church, was for the sake of the gospel. This was his reason. We go back and look at 2 Corinthians 4 and 2. And Paul says this, he said, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. He said, we do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. He says, on the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, he said, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. You see, Paul's reason, church, what he was called to do was he was sent as a missionary to the new world to preach the gospel. And so Paul is saying here, first of all, my reason, guess what? I wasn't about to distort the very thing that God had entrusted me with. I was going to preach it boldly. I was going to send it forth the way that God had told me to. The second, therefore, for Paul was this, it was for the sake of the church. See, the first, therefore, is for the sake of the gospel, but the second one was for the sake of the church. 2 Corinthians 4:12, he said this, so that death is at work in us. This was Paul explaining all the hardship that he had gone through. He said, death is at work in us, but what? Who's he speaking to? The church of Corinth. He said, but life is at work in you. See, Paul was laying down his life for his brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, I may be getting beaten for this cause, but there's something that's happening in your life. And therefore, I'm not going to stop what God has called me to do so that it could have an effect in your life. He says, life is at work in you. Verse 13, it is written, he said, I have believed and therefore I have spoken. He says, since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. Verse 15, all this is for whose benefit? He says, your benefit. Paul was saying, I am going through what I am going through today for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. This was Paul's therefore. There is another therefore that Paul was also about, and that was this. It was the return of Jesus. This is what Paul was interested in, was the return of the Lord. How many of you are waiting for the return of the Lord? Amen. Guess what? That day is going to come, church. That day is going to come. Amen. Ready or not, here he comes. He's going to show up one day. The Bible says, church, he is not going to show up like he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey. He's going to show up, church, the Bible says, with righteousness and truth, amen, to declare justice for his people. He's going to show up, church, on a white horse, amen, riding faithful and true. God is going to split the eastern sky one day, church. Guess what? To rapture those who have longed for his appearing. He's going to come, amen. I'm excited about that. I don't know about you. Maybe you're waiting for the football game after Sunday church. Who cares about that? I'm ready for the return of Jesus, amen? And Paul was ready for the return of Jesus. This was for his reason. Paul says in verse 17, 2 Corinthians 4:17, he said this. He sums it up. He says, for our light and momentary troubles. You realize what Paul went through? And then Paul's like, yeah, you know, our light and momentary troubles. He's like, I guess it's not that bad. I've almost been killed, ran out of towns, crucified, shackled and chained, beaten and bruised, accused, stood before judges and councils. But he goes, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Church, your light and momentary troubles in this world, the drama that sometimes swirls around our lives, amen? Hopefully there was no Christmas drama at your house, amen? Well, he got the bigger box, you know. Hopefully none of that happened. But our light and momentary troubles, church, are achieving for us something that I don't think we could ever comprehend from this world. There will be a day, church, where we are all in the presence of our Creator to see God and behold the glory of God in a way that will far outshine, church, anything that you've ever seen in this world. I went just a couple weeks ago with my wife and kids. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but there's this house in McAllen. I think this guy has like, I don't know, a million lights on his house. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. It's over there off of kind of like by Bicentennial and something here in North McAllen. Anyways, we go by this guy's house, and I have no idea what his electric bill is. I guess it's got to be astronomical. But anyways, this guy's house has a synced light show with a radio station that plays like Christmas songs, and you know, it's like flashing with the song, and it's pretty impressive, you know, like can't lie, you know, I have no idea how long it takes this guy to put it together. I mean, I only have one string of lights on my house, and like I got a couple that are falling already, you know. This guy has this amazing display. And I mean, you can sit in your car with the lights off and your face is just lighting up because it's just that, you know, bright. I can imagine if you're flying out of McAllen, you probably see this guy's house just flashing, you know, from space or something. Bless you, bless you. But I was thinking about this guy's house and how, you know, visually impressive it is. And, you know, how sometimes you see, like, at the Times Square, these big cities, you see these gigantic trees that are all decorated and they just look so impressive. Did you know, church, that God's glory, nothing can compare to the glory of God? When we will behold the Lord, church, I don't care how many Christmas light shows you put together, it's not going to compare anything to how wonderful God is. I don't care how many lights and musics and songs you put together. God's glory, church, the power of God, the presence of God, the Almighty God will far outweigh everything that you've ever seen in this world. And there was reasons, church, that Paul was willing to suffer. I think this is where we tie in ourselves. There should be these reasons for which we are willing to go through these troubles that we may go through in this world, because guess what? There will be an eternal resting place that far outweighs them all. Those reasons that Paul was willing to suffer, and so that therefore it reveals to us, church, what happens in you and I when we don't lose heart. This is what happens in you and me, that we could have that same perspective as Paul when we don't lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4:16. So he begins with, therefore, we do not lose heart. He said, though outwardly we are wasting away, he says, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Did you know, church, that Paul's pain never ended in a pause? It never stopped Paul from serving God the way that God had called him to. And in this life, you will face things that will cause you to want to stop walking with Jesus. You will face discouragements and hardships that will want you to throw in the towel or give up in some kind of way. But Paul's pain never became his pause. Do you realize that through his death-like trials and all these things, you know what it did for Paul? It actually made him more effective and a more life-giving minister to those around him. I think sometimes, church, the very things that we complain that God has allowed or permitted to be in our life are the very things that God is saying they actually need to stay just a little bit longer so that you can be refined into that person I need you to be for those around you. So that you can be refined into that man of God, into that woman of God that I need you to be. Why is this? Because when more of us dies, church, more of Jesus is revealed. Amen? John 3:30 says this, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. See, this is the renewal that God desires to work in you and me on a daily basis. Is that he would increase and that we would decrease. Psalm 103:2 says this. It says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Amen. He goes on to say, who forgives all your sins, and he heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and who crowns you with love and compassion, who what? Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that what? Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Would somebody praise the Lord for all of his benefits today? You see, we serve a mighty God, church. I love that psalm. I actually, for those of you that attend church in the summer, I've done a series a couple summers in a row called Summer in the Psalms. We talked about this psalm. But listen to what he says. Forget not all of his benefits. Recall who he is. Recall how wonderful God has been to your life, who forgives all your sins. I know there's people that would not forgive all my sins. I know there's people that know me and they live around me and they say, hey, I ain't gonna forgive this guy for that. But the Bible says that he forgives all of our sins. Amen? Who what? Who heals all your diseases. Yes, yeah, see, I think sometimes we only equate that word with physical ailment. But the Bible says that every one of our hearts was sick beyond repair. The Bible says that each and every one of us, Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but he what? He came to call sinners. He did not come for the healthy, but he what? He came to come for the sick. It's the sick who need a doctor. And here it says what? He heals all your diseases. What does he go on to say? Who what? Who redeems your life from the pit. I don't know about you, but when I encountered the Lord for the first time, I think I was in a pit. I was in a life that was lost, that was broken, that was hurt, that was angry, that was all kinds of things. But I thank God that God is that Redeemer who takes us out of that pit, church. Amen? And not only does he take us out of the pit, see, he doesn't just bring us back to level ground. The Bible says that he crowns you. He crowns you. I'm so thankful, church, that the one who wore a crown of thorns would give me something of honor. The one who was crowned, church, in this world in a perverse way, in a painful way, would ever say that his inheritance had now become mine. Thank you, Jesus. Who redeems your life, he crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I love how the psalmist makes reference to that he satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You see, in the ancient world, church, the eagle was admired not just because of its strength, but for its ability to renew. You see, when an eagle grows old, its feathers become heavy, its talons become dull, its beak becomes worn, and flying becomes difficult. Hunting for the eagle can become exhausting because everything that once came naturally now feels like a struggle. And so the eagle does something that is remarkable. It retreats to a high and rocky place, away from the noise, away from the fight, if you will. And there it sheds what is worn out. All the old feathers fall away. The beak and the talons, they're renewed by sharpening them on the rock. And for a season, the eagle might look a little bit weaker than before, but this weakness is not failure, it's preparation. For when the process is complete, the eagle does not merely survive, it soars again with a renewed strength, church. See, that's the picture of God's renewal and God's work in you and I, amen? Renewal, church, doesn't mean pretending we're not tired, amen? How many of you could use a renewal right about now, amen? How many of you got real tired after the holidays? You're just like, okay, I'm done. Grandkids, send them home. I couldn't send my kids anywhere, you know. I'm the property owner. Didn't send them anywhere, but it's like, you know, you just want to, like, do nothing. You know what I did on my Christmas? Let me just explain this to you really quickly. I needed a renewal of strength. Christmas morning for me nowadays is as a dad, has come to building things. Amen? My wife orders them, and I build them. I'm like, maybe we could have paid an extra couple bucks and just had it built, you know? But all day on whenever Christmas was on Thursday, my girls got these nice little, whatever they are, makeup vanity things. And I got the honor of building them. You hear the sarcasm in my voice, right? I got the honor of spending like 5 hours on one of them. Took me a while, and praise God, my wife is a wonderful helper, and she did help. She was like, I was like, hey, I need A24. You know, everything's labeled, and everything has numbers, and everything's like, there was like a bag of screws. It was like 40 pounds. I was like, really? Like, we're doing this? I want to just, have coffee and kick my feet up. But anyways, you know, we're there and we're building this thing, and it's taking time, and I'm grateful because she's finding the parts for me. You know, she's finding the screws and all the little gadgets that need to put this thing together. And it actually went a lot smoother, because I guarantee if I had done it myself, I would have given up about 30 minutes into that thing, because it was one of those things where you got to hold it just right and screw it together and all that kind of stuff. But I spent my Christmas building something for my kids, because that's what Christmas is in 2025 for me. And you know, when I think about that little illustration, and I hopefully can tie this into my message, a lot of times God is building, and God is working, and God is doing something in your life. And we're just the recipient of the blessing at the end of the day. But He is the one that's going through all of the things that are necessary to get you to be this complete work at the end of the day. And sometimes this happens through frustrating moments. It happens through persecutions. It happens through failures and shortcomings. It happens through all these kinds of things. We find ourselves tired. We find ourselves weary. We find ourselves sometimes saying, you know what? I don't know if I can keep on going, God. And like I said, renewal doesn't mean that we pretend that we're not tired. It doesn't mean that we ignore the wear and tear of life. It means we trust God enough to release what has grown heavy, the old wounds, the old habits, the old fears, and we allow God to do a renewing work in you and me. The same way that eagle said, hey, you know what, these feathers are not supposed to fly with me into this next season. I believe that we need to look at ourselves this morning and say, Lord, what could I be carrying right now in this moment, in my heart, in my life, upon me, God, in my heart, my mind, relationships, things, people, all kinds of stuff. What needs to go, God, that you might renew your strength in me? I believe, church, that the same God who designed the eagle to soar again promises to renew you and I if we do not lose heart. Amen? And when He does, church, we're not just going to walk forward. We will rise in the strength of God. Isaiah 40 and 31 says this, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Amen? They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. Amen? This is the truth of the hope that we have in Jesus. See, He is faithful to renew you and I as we trust in Him. Amen? Can I encourage somebody in here this morning to continue to hope in the Lord? Amen? If in 2025 you may have regrets or you've had regrets, I encourage you, hope in Jesus. Amen? If 2025 you've had some kind of remorse, I encourage you today, hope in Him. Amen? If you've had some form of rejection, hope in Him, church. Because the only way to be renewed while we're still aging is to find hope in the ageless one. Amen? I didn't just call y'all old. Hopefully you didn't take it that way. But Paul said what? Though outwardly we are wasting away, he's saying inwardly we're being renewed day by day. The Bible calls Jesus the Ancient of Days, the one who was and is and who is to come. And His name is Jesus. And whatever area of your life or my life we need to see renewal in today, then I invite you to lay it all before Him. Church, right now this altar is open. This is the last service of 2025 on a Sunday morning. And I don't want any single one of us to carry something into the coming days ahead or even just the coming minutes ahead where we may say, God, I need you to renew this in my life. So as this altar opens right now, I invite you to come. And if there's things that you've carried throughout this year,